going to share a quick story. A few years ago now, I was on a mission trip to, I think it's Croatia, this one. I've been on a few. I love to go away on short missions trips. They keep me focused, keep me sharp. And we were in Croatia, and a beautiful country. If you've never been, it's absolutely amazing. Still pockets of it that have some trouble and some hassle. And when you walk around some of the old villages and things, you can still see shell holes in some of the walls of the buildings and things like that, and whole streets where people haven't come back yet. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But it's a beautiful, beautiful country. And I was there with a guy called Mike. Mike is Sally's uncle. He used to be the director of missions into Eastern Europe, and we used to go on some cool trips. So we were there in Croatia doing a youth camp, and it was great fun. It was great fun. But one day, just before a service, we thought, this service is going to go on for a bit today, so we're going to get some food before the service. So we thought we were clever and thought we'd arm ourselves with food before the service. And the problem is, I'm not Croatian, and I don't know Croatia very well. And unfortunately, neither did Mike. And so we went out to find ourselves some food, and we learned what the local words were for kebab and all that kind of stuff. And we went out and we tried to find some food. And who loves a shortcut? Hands up if you love a shortcut. If you think the road takes us that way, but I see a field, or in this case, a campsite. I'm like, I think we can walk to this place and cut our journey down by quite some time. So we did that. We went to get some food, and then we couldn't find our way back through the campsite. So we found another entrance into the same campsite, walked across the campsite, and there was just a big fence. And the fence looked to go on for miles. I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do? And I was with, I mean, I'm quite short, right? So I am 5'10". No, 5'6" and a bit. The bit's important, right? So I'm 5'6" and a bit. I'm with Mike. Mike is 6 foot something, and I'm with a young guy called Jordan, and Jordan is about 6'2", 6'3". And Mike and Jordan are like, oh, let's climb the fence. And I'm like, let's not climb the fence, guys, hello. Oh, what it was really like was, no, thank you. That's what it was really like. And anyway, we climbed the fence, and we got over the fence, and Mike tells it this way. Mike tells it that I left half of my finger at the top of the fence. It's a bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, he's an evangelist. That's what they do. Okay, so I cut my finger on the top of the fence, and we're trying to get back, and I'm playing percussion in this thing and speaking and all that kind of stuff. So I'm wrapping my finger in this bandage. We get there in time. It's all good. The leaders of the church were very happy. They're like, where are these guys? But we got back, and this big bandage on my finger, and I thought it's fine. So I'm playing cajon, and it's fine. And then I noticed the guy on the front row of the little platform, is a bit lower than this one. He had a white shirt on, and I suddenly noticed there was little spots of red on his white shirt. I'm like, what's going on there? And I'm smashing this drum to pieces and playing really loud, and I get a little bit enthusiastic, and more white stuff is sprayed onto this poor guy's shirt. And they did ask us back. It was fine. They did ask us back. We had a great time. I ended up having to have some stuff worked on my finger, but it was not great. I took a shortcut. We didn't weigh up any risks. We didn't make wise decisions. And the reason I share that little story is the fact that we are talking about wisdom, and that wisdom very rarely includes a shortcut. Wisdom very rarely includes a shortcut, especially not ones that leave your finger at the top of a fence. Proverbs 13:11 says this: dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Proverbs 20:21 says this, an inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed in the end. It speaks of this word. It's a word I love. It's a word I'm really good at. Patience. It speaks of patience. And for those of you who will know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Okay? Patience. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, let me just give you a quick warning. Unless you're prepared for some painful stuff to happen, don't pray directly for patience. Because you'll not get it. Like, you'll not get it. You're not. God will not just go, be what you are, now more patient. What he'll generally do is put you through some stuff which makes you get more patient, to exercise that muscle of patience. Now, Sally will tell you, I am the most patient person in the world. So, this is why I'm talking about it. Now, Sally will tell you, actually, the reason I can talk about this is because this is an issue I have. This is an issue I have. I can be, now I'm going to ask for some honesty this morning, I can be a little bit impatient. Anybody here could be impatient? Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. I'll tell you another story. This happened to me this week, and this will just show you how impatient I can be. So I'm off work currently at the moment, and I've got a little routine going where I walk into town, I go and get a coffee, and I do some reading and all that kind of stuff, just to keep my brain ticking over, my body ticking over as well. And so I'd walked into town, and I'd gone to a coffee shop. I won't tell you which one. I don't want to advertise anything. So I was in a coffee shop, and I'm there waiting, and there's a few people in the queue before me, and two guys up, there's a guy just having a full-on conversation with the barista, like about their like personal lives. And I'm like, dude, I want my coffee. What are you doing? Anyway, so then he orders the most ridiculous order. I won't even frappa, mocha, whatever it was. Orders this coffee. And then they carry on the conversation. I'm like, and my drink's really simple. I a cold brew, because it was nice weather. It's just really, really simple. And I'm thinking, anyway, I get to the counter. Cold brew to take out, please. I was so grumpy. It was like properly affected. Just this guy having a conversation with somebody had made me really, really grumpy. My impatience had grown so much in that queue. Now, that's a really silly, a silly little incident. But that points to a deeper thing. That points to something that's a little bit more difficult to deal with that. And it's this, it's called a sense of entitlement. It's called it a sense of entitlement. You see, I thought I was entitled to go in there, get served as quickly as I could, forget what they were doing. That conversation could be really important to those people. That conversation could have been the only real conversation that person had that week. It could have been anything, couldn't it? And here's me just worrying about waiting 3 minutes extra for my cup of coffee. How ridiculous. I need to be honest now. Hands up if you've ever been in a situation a little bit like that. Have you had to check yourself? I walked out. I almost physically did it. Got a bit of feedback then. I almost physically did it. I almost give myself a slap round the face to go, you know, this is not good enough, Mr. B. This is not good enough to be that level of impatient with somebody when they're just having a conversation. That is not great. Patience is really, really important. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions this morning. So we've learned from Proverbs that wealth gained quickly rarely lasts. Now, I am not wealthy, so you know. Well, I say that in Western terms, I would say I'm not wealthy. But in world terms, we are all in this room relatively wealthy, aren't we? So actually, we should probably always remember that. I don't consider myself wealthy in Western terms, but in terms of the world, then we are all blessed. And I don't even like that word, because it suggests that other people in other parts of the world aren't. And I struggle with that. So let's say we are blessed to be born where we are and fortunate to have what we have. Okay, so we'll probably, it's probably too much explanation, but I wanted to make that clear. I do know this, that if I spend my life wishing upon a windfall, then it can be gone just as fast as it arrives. Anybody here a fan of Only Fools and Horses? Anybody a fan of Only Fools and Horses? Some of the younger guys as well. Sorry about my TV references. The other week I used bread and they were like, what? Sorry. I'll catch up one day. What was the phrase that was always used? What was the phrase that Del Boy used at the end of the show sometimes? He would say a particular phrase. Nobody remember what it was? This time, next year, I'll be a millionaire. This time next year, we'll be millionaires. That's what he used to say all the time. And I remember one particular episode where they did become millionaires. They found a watch in a garage. It was worth millions, and they sold the watch, and they had this. But that went just like that. There are countless stories of people that win the lottery and win millions and millions of pounds and don't know what to do with that newfound wealth. And within years, it's just gone. It's just gone. You see, there's something in the preparation and the slow gaining of something that helps us to keep hold of it. There's something in the preparation that does that. There's the phrase, isn't there, that talent will get you to the top. Your character will keep you there. Character usurping talent every time. And that's what we're talking about this morning. It's a matter of character, not a matter of talent. The other thing we know is that speed often sacrifices sustainability. I mean, we were a few years ago, we were able to buy a house off plan in Newark. And we never thought we'd be in that position. And we were, and it was amazing. And every time we walked past our house being built, every day you could see a little bit of progress. It was great. I loved seeing that little bit of progress. You get to a point where they put the windows in, you're like, yes, it's not going to get rain in it anymore. Where the roof's on, where things... You go past, and there's just a little bit of progress every day. I'd be really worried if we walked past one day and it was foundations, and the next day, it was completely built. I'd be really worried by that. Because there's nothing to say that what's been done has been done properly. It's just been rush built and it could fall down at any moment. Okay? It's the same when we're talking about our finances, but also the same as we talk about when we talk about our own ministries and things that we're involved in. Very, very often, God takes us on a journey of something to discover who we are and to outwork our purposes, rather than go, you, do that now. That does happen. That does happen on rare occasions. Making people cry already. That does happen. But most of the time, we go through a process. Most of the time, it can feel slow going, can't it? Anybody ever had a promise from God and it's not come to pass the next day? Slow going, right? Do we get a little bit impatient? Absolutely. And actually, a tiny bit of impatience is not such a bad thing, I don't think, because at least it means we still want it and we're still working towards it. And so maybe a little bit of impatience that way is not so bad. But really, it's about taking time to understand what God says about us, figuring out what that means, and then just asking God to drop something into our hearts. Now, hands up if you were here last week. I'm getting you to do a lot of hands up, aren't I? Sorry about that. I'm not sorry at all. Just make sure you keep it engaged. It was an incredible week. Pastor Sean from Bridge Church in Lincoln spoke. And I know that a lot of people had a real word from God last week about plans and purposes and things they want to be involved in and all of that kind of stuff. And we're really keen to kind of keep that conversation going. But I'm going to put a caveat on that and say, hey, let's not all rush out and do loads of crazy stuff straight away. Let's be wise. Let's make good choices. Let's make good decisions. It's really, really important as we move into a new building that we don't go, oh, let's do this project, that project, that project, that project. Run out of money 3 months later. Oh, Miss Martin, can we come back to school, please? We don't want to be in that position. Yeah, we don't want to be in that position. We want to be in a position where what we're doing is sustainable and has an impact for future generations in Newark. I was in New York a few years ago on another mission trip. If you've never been on a mission trip, come and talk to me. We'll get you out on mission. It's so exciting. It's so cool. Okay, but I was in New York a few years ago, and we were working on this thing called Metro World Ministries, working with loads of kids doing sidewalk Sunday school, where they get, you know, those big yellow buses they have in New York, yeah? And they get one of those with the side pulled down and the big PA speakers and all that kind of stuff. We do loads of stupid dances and music and drama, and people preach the gospel. And then once a week on a Saturday, you bus everyone into church. So they have like five services, and they have about 800 kids in each service, bused from all over the city. It's absolutely incredible. A guy called Bill Wilson. It's just phenomenal. Blew my mind. And we had an audience with Bill Wilson, which was amazing. We had a conversation with him. And said, how has your ministry grown to this level? This is insane. How has your ministry grown to this level? He says, we've just been here. It didn't explode overnight. In fact, he will tell stories, and I'm going to share with you because it's not my testimony, but he will share stories that were absolutely horrific, but they stayed present. I will share this one. He got shot in the face. 3 days later, he was back at work. Now, we would say right now, there's probably some safeguarding issues around that. We should probably not allow people to go back to work after being shot in the face after 3 days. We should probably let them have a bit more time off and some counselling and all that kind of thing. Well, we're probably right. We're not going to judge that. But he was just always present. And for generations and generations, they were present. And it grew slowly and steadily. And then it started to snowball and it started to get really big. And we say successful in terms of numbers, and we don't always measure success in terms of numbers, but we measure it in impact. And it was impacting a lot of people. It's impacting a lot of people. But it took time. It didn't happen overnight. It took persistence of being present. It took the persistence of being present. Generation after generation. New York's a dangerous city. I'll share a little story about when I went to buy some trainers in New York, but I won't do it now. It's a dangerous city. And when we got there, we thought we'd have lots of people with us to kind of guard us and, you know, be with us all the time. This is what they did. They gave us a T-shirt and said, stay together. Now, on this T-shirt was a bear called Yogi. So they literally stolen this bear as their mascot. So we had a blue Yogi Bear T-shirt on. And this was said, every neighborhood you work in, and we worked in Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx, so they were the kind of three areas that we were based in. And so we had these blue T-shirts on with Yogi Bear on, and I'm like, I'm not feeling particularly safe. Is this stamp proof? Bulletproof? No, nope, it's just, I think it was probably a Fruit of the Loom, right? And I'm thinking, I'll put this Fruit of the Loom on, think it'll be all right. But weirdly, when people put that T-shirt on, people recognize you, and they go, ah, it's Yogi Bear. Oh, it's Yogi Bear. And you'd have people across the street that you'd never met before, like, hey, Yogi Bear. And it's because they'd built up this reputation over time. And so there was an element of protection in the respect that they had from all of these people because they'd just been there. They'd just been present. Listen, the ministry of Jesus sometimes is just the ministry of presence. We were talking last week, weren't we, about that sometimes we're not very good at lamenting as Pentecostals. And I've had an opportunity this week just to sit with somebody. There's a situation I can't do anything about. Nothing. All you can do is be present. I'm going to suggest to you this week, maybe, let's not always look for the next project and things like that. Just try being present where you are. Just try being present. This is a challenge for me. Hands up if you've got a mobile phone. Hands up if you've ever been, and this might be just me, and if it's just me, you can come and pray for me at the end, right? Hands up if you've ever been in the middle of a conversation with somebody and maybe your phone's still in your pocket or maybe it's on a table somewhere if you're meeting for coffee or whatever, but it buzzes or it lights up a little bit and you're like, anybody do that? Who is that calling me? What is that going on? I find myself challenged about this time and time again and I'm still not learning because I'm a little bit stupid sometimes. What is so important about that that's not this? This is my ministry right now. Your ministry right now is what is in front of you. Don't look for the massive stuff. You'll get there one day. But you'll get there one day by doing what's in front of you now, consistently showing up, being present. Not built on this thing that just happens overnight, but built on foundations that take time to build and time to get right and to get correct. Now, something for you to think about. What is God slowly building in your life? Just have a think. Close your eyes. I'm not going to put any soft music on. It's okay. You won't fall asleep. And unfortunately, I don't have that kind of voice either. Just close your eyes a second. What is it that God is slowly building? Not what is the big bombshell that's going to explode and just, ta-da! What is it God's slowly building? What is it that God's given you years ago that still hasn't come to pass that you know is still there? What are the shortcuts we're taking sometimes just to try and force God's hand? Okay, open your eyes. I just wanted to get you thinking this morning about what are those things in your life in particular that God is building. God is building slowly, patiently. That's not to say that we shouldn't have a sense of urgency, because there are some things that we all need to take responsibility for. So, for instance, sharing the gospel. Please don't wait for God to patiently build you into something that's capable of going out and preaching the gospel. That will not happen. That happens by doing it. Wisely, the Bible says also with compassion and with love. So do it wisely. And that's not the kind of thing we need to wait for. If God has called you to a prayer ministry, don't sit and wait, Lord, when? Pray. Ministry starts now. You see, God builds. And if what we're doing is waiting patiently, because patience is important, for the one thing to happen all at once. There's no building involved. It's just a magic trick. Now, God does miracles. Right, read my hoodie. No. Right. God, I didn't buy it specifically for that, by the way. God does miracles, and he can switch things around just like that. He did with my life. He did with your life. But a lot of the time, what God does is he works slowly through us, changing us bit by bit, knocking the edges off. Iron sharpens iron, making us well-rounded. Me, more well-rounded than some others. Making us well-rounded as Christians to be able to live the life that God has called us to live. Because he has equipped us with everything we need for life and for godliness. Everything. It's there already. But let's partner with God in patient building. Let's partner with God in building patiently to those ministries and to those things that God has called us to do. Now, I went home last week really excited about the buzz that was in the room. Now, I've experienced lots of buzzes in rooms before. I've experienced a buzz in the room at the cinema when the sound quality wasn't very good. Leave that one with you. I've experienced a buzz in a room at a gig where the band have been phenomenal. Not the one that I've been in. The support act. Right, where the band have been phenomenal. There's a buzz in the room. I've been in church services where it feels something tangible. It's like, the Holy Spirit is doing something. There's a buzz in the room. It feels amazing. It's a tangible experience. And I went home feeling this tangible experience that God had spoken to people that day. And Sal and I were talking about making sure we don't lose that. Not that we're chasing recreating it either. We're not chasing yesterday. But we want to build patiently. Build patiently on what God has given you. So some of you will have had a word from God last week and you've never experienced that before. Can I encourage you, if you haven't done so already, please write it down. Write it down. Put a note on your phone if you need to, but get a notebook, anything. Just write it down. Date it. Time it. Who said it? It could just be, I felt the Lord say this. It could say, Sean said this, and it made me feel this, like I ought to do this. I'm giving you sentence starters, is what we call them. I just want to encourage you to do that, because sometimes they're part of the plans. We talked a little bit about foundations, but we also need a plan. And they're a part of the plan. Those written things that are written down, and they're there that we can go back to when we're not feeling it. Because I'll be honest, God spoke to me years ago about a couple of things that Sal and I would be involved in, and then it didn't happen. And then I had times where I just wasn't feeling it. Anyone been in that situation? Yeah? God said to us one day, you'll do this, and then we're waiting. And because it didn't happen, we tried to force some things to happen that weren't right. Not bad things, by the way, not bad things. They were all good things that we were going after. But they weren't the right time for us. We weren't patient. And let me tell you, in living in that tension in the meantime is sometimes really, really difficult. But God sustains us in that time. Those are the times we're learning. Those are the times we're equipping ourselves. Those are the times that we are getting to grips with the plan, the purpose that God has for each and every one of us. Because he does, whatever your age, whatever your life situation, he's got plans and purposes. But let me just free your mind a little bit on this. Don't think that those plans and purposes are set out on a little tightrope that you have to walk. And if you, I can't move, I'll fall off. I'll do it on there, but I'm not steady enough. It's not like that. Of course, God has plans and purposes for you, but we're all human beings, and those plans and purposes can look different. God wants you to have choices. God wants you to be safe. I've heard it once described as a field with fences. He's not going to let you fall off the cliff, but neither is it a really, really a path, a tightrope. It's a narrow path, indeed. It's not a tightrope. There's a big difference between a tightrope and a path. If you stumble off a path, you can get back on a path. If you stumble off a tightrope, let's say it's across the Grand Canyon. Let's do that one. If you stumble off a path, you can get back on the path, right? If you stumble off a tightrope across the Grand Canyon. But so many people, when I was growing up as a Christian, I thought this was when I was 15, 16, I became a Christian. And I always thought that God has this plan and this purpose. And if I step outside of that, or if I've got that wrong, then God can't bless me at all. That's crazy thinking. It's crazy thinking. That's not what it is to be human. God is created with the free will. There's no love without free will. We're just beings that do everything that God says. Now, we do that because we love him, not because we're made to. Not because we're made to. I've gone off piste there, sorry. Apologies for that. Band. See how subtle that was? The one thing I don't do is subtle very well. Band, can we have you on the stage, please? And we're going to sing this song, Make Room. We're going to make a room. I don't want you to necessarily stand and sing and worship at this point. I want the musicians to play over us, if you like. Take some space. Take some time. It's no good us saying, we'll give time for this, and then telling you what to do in the time. So we're going to give time to this for you to... You can stand up and worship. You can kneel and worship. You can do what you need to do. But actually, we're just going to create just 5 minutes of space. And then we're going to come together at the end and pray for one another before we go out. And after that, there will be a prayer team down here as well. So if there's something specific that you want prayer for, okay, then please come and pray. I think it's me and Anne today. Okay, so if you're lucky, you'll get Anne, because she's a much better prayer than I am. Okay, so please, if you do need some prayer today, come down to the front and we will make that happen.